It's hard to believe that a year ago I was giving a Thanksgiving speech, a Thanksgiving sermon, and it's Thanksgiving again, and that a year has passed, and the last year has been so strange. If you remember last year, I had the slide of the person in a medical suit that looked like an astronaut or something sitting on a sofa, and everybody was afraid of doing everything, and everything was being canceled. And the title was, Is Thanksgiving Going to Be Canceled? And we don't talk about being thankful enough and giving thanks. So I want us to consider having a thankful heart this morning. Psalm 104 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." As Christians, we should be a very thankful people. Colossians chapter 3 and beginning at verse 12. "Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." We need to be thankful. Friend, a man is no more than what we allow into our mind. We will not say or do anything that is not in our mind. Are we not thankful because we do not have thankfulness in our mind? Luke 6 and verse 45 says, "The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks." So whatever we say is going to be what is in our heart. What is in our mind? How do we get things into the mind? We get things into our mind by our senses, by what we see, by what we hear, what we touch, what we taste, what we smell. That's how we get things into our heart, our mind, and then our mind directs our actions. Whatever we have in our mind is all that we are ever going to be, because our life comes from our mind, our heart. Our mind directs our actions. So one of the things to start with thankfulness and just thinking about truth and the way the world sees things, we've got to understand that truth is not outside of us. Truth is not inside of us. And why do I say that? Because everybody, when they think the truth is inside, then whatever they want to be is the standard. Truth is not what is in my mind unless I put the Bible in my mind. This is the only truth. Thy word is truth. God's word is truth. And when we think about people being happy and being thankful, they will think about all kinds of things out in the world, but not what is in God's word, what is in our mind. So we have to obtain this truth some way. And we're like a child. We're like a clean slate. A child is not evil. It's clean and it's pure. And Christ reveals his will to us. We think about that will. We act on that will, and then we become that will. And what did the Holy Spirit tell Paul in Colossians 3, verse 12? And be thankful. And be thankful. Have we gotten that into our mind? Do we have that in our heart? Do we let that rule and reign in our heart? We live in a very thankless society. You don't hear people say a simple thank you much anymore. You see someone give a child a gift, they rarely say thank you. They usually want more than what you give them. And sadly, those children grow up to be adults that don't appreciate, they don't say thank you for this and that, and they expect more. So as Christians, we ought to be the most thankful people on the face of the earth because we have so much to be thankful for. And nobody can rob us of those blessings that we have. We might be thankful for a car that we have and somebody comes along and steals it. Or thankful for something in our house and somebody, a thief, breaks in and steals it. But we have blessings that we should be thankful for that nobody can take them away from us. Why should we be thankful? James 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning. If we are Christians, our Father gives us every good gift, and we should be thankful for that. And notice when we talk about being thankful, about giving thanks, there are several components of that. There is a giver, there is a receiver, there is a thing, something that is given, and then there is the value placed on that thing. All of those are involved in giving and receiving. We appreciate when somebody gives us something that means something to them. A friend, a relative, here, this has been in our family for a long time, I'd like you to have it. Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. Friends, God gave the most precious thing that He had, His only Son, for us. Do we thank God? Do we appreciate Him for us? Some gifts we might like, some gifts we might not like. Certain times of the year, some people exchange gifts. Sometimes you get something you really like, and sometimes you get something you stick away in the closet and you want to forget about it. Is there anything like that with God that He has given us? No. God has given us every good gift, every perfect gift that there is. We need to be thankful to God. You just stop and think, thinking about the physical things for a minute. What if God took away the things that we did not give Him thanks for? What if we did not thank God for our car and He took it away? What if we did not thank God for our house and He took it away? What if we did not thank God for our spouse and He took our spouse away? What if we did not thank God for our health and He took our health away? Friends, we have so much to be thankful for, but sometimes we fall into the world, we're distracted by the world, we want more, 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 and we are the richest people on the earth. You think about our spiritual blessings. God has given us everything. He's forgiven us of our sins. He's given us eternal life. And some people walk around all grumpy like, well, I didn't get what I wanted. Friends, can't you be thankful for what you have? We think about Paul. He said he learned to be content in whatever state he was in. He learned to live with a lot. He learned to live with a little. We need to learn contentment. Is contentment something that you wake up with in the morning? No, it's something you learn. You learn it. You learn it by having it, by losing it, by giving it to somebody else, by this, by that. What if we aren't thankful? Well, and again, back to James 1, all that is good ultimately derives from God. It's beyond comprehension that a person would be so unthankful as to blame God for their failures because God made me this way. God made us after His own image, and His will is that we will be His obedient children. What a glorious parentage is ours through being privileged to be brought forth, born of God, inasmuch as God is our Father, as we are expected to conduct ourselves in keeping with our heritage. Okay, now, what if we aren't thankful in this next slide. So in Romans chapter 1, we have what happens to us when we aren't thankful. Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful. So what's going to follow is because they were not thankful, but became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools. And so they were not thankful to God, even though they knew God. They knew God, but they were not thankful to Him. So notice what follows in this list. And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. So when they took the things that God created and made them into idols, they likely started out with the idea of worshiping God through these images, that the image would help the mind to rise from the material to the invisible, God whom it represented. But they soon came to view it as God instead of an aid to the devotion. And with the slide of these two idols back from the Old Testament, you still see those used today in Hollywood, in movies. These horrible things. How did they get there? They were not thankful. They knew God, but they were not thankful. Again, they likely started with the idea of worshiping God through these things. Some practice, and then it turns into an idol. Verse 25, who exchanged, or verse 24, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie, worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their woman exchanged the natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another. Men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving themselves the penalty of their error which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to those things which are not fitting. Listen to the list of the sins in verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same thing, but also approve of those who practice them. So you think of all of those things that we just read. How did they get there? Back to verse 1. Although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were they thankful. They were not thankful to God, knowing who He was and what He had done. And then you get down to the end of the chapter, and there's a horrible list of things. How did they get there? Notice also in verse 24, God also gave them up to. In verse 26, God gave them up to. Verse 28, God gave them over to. Have you ever heard somebody say, just leave me alone? Just leave me alone. I just want to be left alone. Friends, when God leaves us alone, this is where we end up. We should not want God to leave us alone. We need to know God. We need to know who He is. We need to be thankful for God. We need to be thankful for everything He gives us. He gives us every good and perfect gift. And you put that on one side, and then on the other side, you put somebody that knew God, they weren't thankful to Him, and this is what you end up with. Friends, we need to be more thankful. Do we get to a list like this overnight? No. But it's one step at a time. One step at a time. One attitude at a time. We need, again, it's what we put in our heart, in our mind. We aren't going to be in our life any more than what we put in our heart. If we don't put thankfulness into our heart, it's not going to be manifested in our life. Luke 18:9. He also spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. When you read that, you just got to shake your head. He's thanking God. I thank God I'm not like these other people. And then in verse 12, he goes on to boast about himself. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. What should we be thankful for? We should be thankful that God forgave us of our sins. We should be thankful that we recognize that we are sinners, that God revealed that to us. We should be thankful that God sent His only Son to come and pay that price that we could not pay. We should be thankful. We should not be like this Pharisee that says, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. Friends, we are all sinners. We are all sinners. Well, another example of thankfulness and unthankfulness in Luke chapter 17. Now it happened, as he went up to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, Go, show yourselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Here we have these lepers. Most probably they would have all died. And Jesus heals them. He heals 10 of them, all 10. And how many are thankful? Just one. And his question is, weren't there 10? Where are the other 9? Why aren't they thankful? Why aren't they thankful? You know, you take things that happen today. So many things where there are large groups of people that are given something and given it over and over and over, and they just come to expect it. Well, I'm entitled to this. Friends, every good and perfect gift that we have comes from God, and we need to give God thanks for everything. We need to be a thankful people. We need to be thankful of the relationship that we have with God. We need to be thankful for the relationship that we have with each other. As numbers get smaller at places, and and they don't get smaller every place, but across the board, numbers are getting smaller in a lot of places, and that should draw us closer together. That you read through the Old Testament about the faithful few, the remnant. We don't know what's going to be ahead in the next couple years, but we should be thankful to God that He has given us His Word. He has given us each other. He has given us this church in this location, and we should thank God every day for that. I was telling David about something I read the other day where an announcement was moving to a state to begin preaching, and was looking for other families, and I forget if it was 100 or 200 miles from where he was going to preach. There wasn't any sound congregations in that area going to sow the seed. Many, many years ago, Carol and I were visiting down in North Carolina, and I always find a place where I want to worship before we leave home, and we found the place, and it was in a storefront, and there were six people. That was like the regular attendance there, six people. And they were so thankful that they had visitors that night. So thankful. And we just take things for granted. Why? We don't put thankfulness. We live in an unthankful world, and we just want more, more, more. We take things for granted, and we don't stop to think for the blessings that God gives us every day. When we think about being thankful, we should look back to the past. We have so many things to be thankful for, and I'll be honest, a lot of that stuff I've just forgotten about. But I should be thankful for everything that God has done to get me to this point today. We should be thankful for today. And again, I ask people, where do you live? And they give me a street address. And I say, no, do you live in the past? Do you live in the present? Or do you live in the future? We need to enjoy today. We need to live here today. We need to be in the present, not worrying about the past, not worrying about the future, being thankful to God for this day. When I went outside this morning, it was, I just love God's creation. And we had grandkids that spent the night the other night, and we had a fire going outside, and it was raining, and smoke from the wood from the night before and the mist and everything. It was just so beautiful. And you got to just stop and be thankful and appreciate the simple things and what God has given us. We need to be thankful today. We need to look forward to the future and be thankful. We need to be thankful that there is a church planted here. We need to be thankful that we are praying for people to join us. We need to be praying for those elders that someday, when we are not here maybe, that there will be elders in this congregation. We need to be thankful for the future. We need to be thankful for the physical things that we have. We need to be thankful for the spiritual things that we have. Are we thankful for prayer? I know I'm not as thankful for prayer as I ought to be, because you stop and think that God that created us, He created everything, and He created a way for us to communicate with Him. And what if I had something on my heart, some trouble I was going through, and all I could tell were you? And I love you, but that's not the same as being able to tell God. Are we thankful that we can talk to God? And we know that God hears us. He hears each one of us. And we know that God answers each prayer. He answers each prayer in the best way. Are we thankful? Are we thankful? We need to be thankful In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of truth. So we need to be thankful. We need to give thanks for all men. This passage says supplications, prayers, intercession, thanksgiving. We should never pray to God without thanksgiving. We thank God for His mercy, for His compassion. And again, with this passage in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we recognize, you know, pray for all men, for kings, for all who are in authority. And they may not be godly men, but we know that God controls those kings. He controls the governments. He controls the nations. And we need to have that right frame of mind toward people we don't like. And when we're told to love our enemies, we might think of some of the people ruling as enemies. But we're told to love our enemies and pray for them. If we don't, what are we doing? We're setting ourselves up as God. We need to submit to God. We need to be thankful. We need to pray for all men. And we need to pray, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. That note card that when we were doing the personal evangelism class, and I said we each of us need to put names on there to pray for. Are we still praying for them? Are we thankful that we have the opportunity to pray for them? You know, sometime we might have that list of names, and what if they died? We aren't going to be able to pray for them then. It's going to be too late. We need to be thankful. Do you have two eyes and you can see? Maybe we have to squint a little, but we can still see. Maybe it's hard of hearing, but we still have two ears. Maybe sometimes our voice gets weak, but we still have a voice. We still have arms and hands. I still have two legs, even though my knees have been replaced and my shoulder's been worked on. I still have most of my body. I need to be thankful. I need to be thankful. Are we thankful? And again, what if we did not give thanks to God for the things that we have? Our home, our spouse, our health, our children. I can't think of a specific example, but I imagine I can hear myself saying this when the kids were little and they had so many toys. Well, if you aren't thankful for this, I'm going to take it away. You know, and when like a bunch of them are playing and they can't play together with things, if you aren't thankful for this, I'm just going to take it away from you and that'll solve it. Well, if we don't express our thanks to God, He might just take some things away from us. Do we thank the people that teach us what we need to do to live, that taught us what we need to do to be saved? Do we thank the people that are trying to encourage each other? Do we give thanks to God for our friends? You know, we all like to have friends. Where do they come from? Do they just drop out of the air? You know, Philippians chapter 1 it's a very tender letter that Paul wrote to a group that he loved very much. Down at beginning at verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of grace. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. You see how much Paul loved the Philippians because they supported him. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And he was in chains writing to them. But he thanks God upon every remembrance of you and every prayer. He has them in his heart. Are we thankful for the friends that we have? In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Are we thankful, friends? Are we thankful? God has blessed us all. God has smiled on us all. Be thankful that we've been taught the truth. Be thankful for Christian relatives and friends. What a great blessing. You know, all of us here have family members that aren't members of the body of Christ. All of us. I don't have to ask, I just know. All of us have family members, and I don't laugh saying that jokingly, it's just a matter of fact. But we have family here by the blood of Christ, that we're all family. Are we thankful for that? Are we thankful for that? What a blessing. What a blessing. Be thankful for the ones that taught you the truth. Be thankful. Be thankful for Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who went to the cross to die for us. You know, we come every first day of the week to remember that sacrifice. And we may remember it, we may go through the motions, but are we thankful for it? Friends, having a thankful heart, it's something that we must develop. We aren't going to manifest a thankful heart in our lives unless we put thanks into our mind. Are you thankful for today? What are you doing about today? Are you living for Christ? Have you started living for Christ? Are you thankful that he sent his son to die for you? Are you thankful? We need to act on that thanks. We need to do what we know we need to do to make our life right with God and be thankful, live our life with joy, and recognize how truly we are blessed. If anyone needs to respond this morning, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.